A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Brachas Tes Zayin, Brachas 16a, pagination page 31. We're going to start from five lines from the top, Hakorei Limafreya, in the middle of the line, surrounded by two dots, a quote from our Mishnah. One of the most important things to remember whenever we study Torah and do mitzvahs is that Torah and mitzvahs were given to human beings. You'll recall that when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Har Sinai, the Malachim argued that they did not want to give the Torah up. They wanted to keep the Torah for themselves. Now, one level of understanding would simply be because they treasured Torah and it was beloved to them and they wanted to keep it. But on another level, they wanted to keep Torah because they felt that the human being would fail. And they, malachim, angels, are perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu's argument to them was, it's very nice that you're perfect, but that's not what Torah is about. He asked them, do you have parents? Does the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, to honor your parents, apply? And likewise, we can go through all the mitzvahs of the Torah and recognize Torah was given to the human being with his challenges. He has a job, he has bechira, he has challenges, choices to make in this world, and sometimes he's going to fail. There's a mitzvah of tshuva in the Torah. And the entire structure of Torah is that even though we aspire to do mitzvahs perfectly, but what happens if we fail? What happens if we get distracted? Halacha has to address those cases as well. And that's our topic for this morning in the Gemara. A person is reciting Shema, and he gets distracted, and he can't quite remember if he's up to the ukisavtem, and you should write the mezuzah, if he's doing the paragraph of Shema, v'ahavta, or he's doing the paragraph of v'hayom shemoa. He's distracted. He's not positive which one is it. And how do we paskin such a shaila? Where do we tell him to go back to? So again, Brachas Tes Zayin 16a, Hakorei Lemafreya, five lines from the top. Lo yotza. If you read the Shema out of order, you're not Yotze. Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi, we have a little story here. These two Gedolim, Havaka Katri le'Genona le'Rabbi Elazar, they were tying the canopy for a chuppah for Rabbi Elazar to marry him off. Amaluhu, they said, Adahachi v'hachi, while we have time over here, Izo v'eshma milsa devei midrasha, let's go to the Beis Medrash and hear what we can. So they were busy with a mitzvah, they weren't in the Beis Medrash, but they had a little time off, so they ran off to the Beis Medrash to try to get a halacha, to try to hear a shir. And we'll come back and we'll tell everybody else what happened. Ozal, he went, Ashkeche letana deketani kamed Rabbi Yechanan, and he heard the Tana who was presenting in front of Rabbi Yechanan, Korav v'ta'a. If a person was reading Shema and he made a mistake, and he doesn't know where the mistake is exactly, if all he knows is that he's in the middle of a paragraph, so go back to the beginning of that paragraph. If what he knows is that he's in between paragraphs, but he's not sure if he's between the paragraph of Shema and Vahayom Shemoa, or between the paragraph Vahayom Shemoa and Vayomer, so Yachzel Perek Rishon, he has to go back to the beginning of the first Perek. In other words, he paused for a minute, he started thinking of either distractions or great lofty things, but he lost track where he's up to. Go back to the earliest point that could possibly be. Ben Ksiva L'Ksiva, if you're not sure, as I gave the example, which Uchsavtem, Yachzel L'Ksiva Rishon, go back to the first one, in the first paragraph. Good. Amalei Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, Lo shanu elu shelo pasach b'lev ma'an yir b'yameichen. This is only true if you didn't continue into lema'an yirbu yameicha, meaning subconsciously your memory just blanked out. But if your subconscious memory continued your words, and almost by habit, you just continued l'man yirbu yameichem, which is unique to the second paragraph of Shema, av pasach l'man yirbu yameichem, sirchei nakat va'asi, the way the Shulchan Aruch understands this Gemara, which differs, by the way, from Rashi, but Shulchan Aruch explains this, that you could rely on your habit, and you know that you were in the middle of the second paragraph of Shema. Also va'omaluhu, so he came back to the group who was preparing the chuppah and told them this halacha. Amrulei, and they told him, ilu lo vanu ala lishma davar zeh dayenu. If we only came for this halacha, this one halacha, this novel ruling, that would be sufficient, and they appreciated what he taught them. This is an expression. Sometimes you go out of your way, you listen to a shir, and there's nothing new in the whole shir except for one thing. Dayenu, it's enough, it was worth it. They say a beautiful story I love to repeat. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman used to go to the Chafetz Chaim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time and listen to his shiurim. So one year the Chafetz Chaim seemed to have repeated what he said the previous year, and the Talmidim were disappointed. Rabbi Chanan said, no, he didn't repeat what he said last year, he changed three words. And that is an example of Dayenu. The Mishnah Berurah mentions regarding this halacha, a fascinating nuance, that if you're davening with a tzibur, with the congregation, and the tzibur, the shliach tzibur, the people around you, are clearly up to one paragraph or the other, so if you daven at their pace, normally, reasonably, so then the Mishnah Berurah says you can assume that you're davening with them, and in fact are up to the same paragraph that they're up to. You look around, you see they're clearly up to the first paragraph, or clearly up to the second paragraph. That's also circumstantial evidence that can be brought to the table, similar to the Lema'an Yirbu Yameichem that was stated in our Gemara in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Let's continue into the next Mishnah. Again, cases where the mitzvah is being done in a less than ideal fashion, and we need to know what's acceptable. Ha'umnin, craftsmen, workers, korim barosh ha'ilon, they say Shema on the top of a tree while they're working. They apparently started working early, and now it's time for Shema. They want to recite Shema. To come down the tree in order to say Shema in an ideal fashion would be an enormous waste of work, time, and they have responsibilities to their boss. So we allow them to recite Shema on the top of the tree, different circumstances when it's acceptable, but that's the way the mission is stated. Uvrosh ha-nidvach, and on top of a wall of stones, again, they're doing work over there. Masha'ein rasha'en came, lasas came batfila, but that would not work for Shemona Esrei, because Shemona Esrei needs a greater level of concentration. But for Shema, as the Gemara will explain, as long as they stop working while they recite Shema, but even though they're balanced in a somewhat uncomfortable position, as long as it's not precarious, it's okay for Shema, as long as they stop their work. Mishnah continues, Choson, a person who's getting married, Potter mikriya Shema laila harishona va'ad matzoi Shabbos, he's potter, absolved from reciting Shema for the first four nights, imloa samaisa, until he's with his wife successfully, because he's very distracted regarding this mitzvah, regarding the besulim, regarding being with his wife for the first time, and the ruling of the Mishnah, until it's reversed later on in history, but the original ruling was that he can't concentrate sufficiently for Shema, and he's just not capable of doing this mitzvah. Omaisa b'Rabbi Gamliel, there was a story with Rabbi Gamliel, Shanasa Isha, he was getting married, v'korelai lo harishona, and he did recite Shema. Omru lo tamidav, the student said to him, l'madateni rabbeinu shachasin potter mikriya Shema, didn't you teach us, Rabbi, that a chasin is potter from Shema, can't concentrate? Amalohem, he told them, eini shamei alochem levat le'menu macho shemaim afilu shoa achas, I will not listen to you to absolve myself of accepting Hashem's kingdom, even for a moment, even for one night, I can't bear that. And therefore, he obviously made extra efforts to concentrate and to accept the mitzvah, to accept Hashem's monarchy upon him, upon himself. So we find our Mishnah describing that normally a chassan is potter for the first night or nights, and Rabbi Gamliel himself was extra diligent and he accepted upon himself because he just couldn't deal with not saying Shema. The ruling that we have today is that a chassan has to recite Shema, because to not recite Shema would be an act of haughtiness, mechziki yuhara, because it's like he's saying, normally I have such great concentration, but tonight I'm a chassan, it's hard to achieve that concentration. And our understanding of the mitzvah in our time is that we never have such great concentration, or at least not reliably so, to the point that you never had this deficient level of concentration on a regular night. So do your best, concentrate, and say Shema. And our ruling is that Chassanim do say Shema even on the night of the Chuppah. Kol Tov, have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.